Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman alongside you. I am live out at MTSU inside Floyd Stadium for Blue Raiders Media Day today. MTSU just wrapped up practice. And today we are joined by Teron Davenport. TD Tuesdays start today. TD is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. TD, what's going on? Excited to get started here. We're going to have you once a week for all 3 hours on Tuesday. Going to be a blast.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Look at that. I was struggling to figure out how to turn my mic on. Now, I'm used to it coming on automatically. But, no, it's going to be a blast, man. I'm looking forward to the opportunity, talk some shop, bring some real talk, objective talk. You know, we're going to talk some good, we'll talk some bad, and I think that's the right way to do it.
Yeah, going to be great. We've got plenty to get to today. We will, I believe we're going to talk to MTSU quarterback Nick Vadiato at some point. They just wrapped up practice, so nice. We will let you know when we get a chance to talk to him. The Titans also released their initial depth chart yesterday. Some notable things on there. I mean, the unofficial depth chart, I'm not sure how much you actually can draw from that before week one of the preseason, but we'll look into that. And also some talk on Cam Ward as he prepares for his first joint practices coming up on Thursday. But Connor Newt is here as well. Connor, how are you?
I am well.
Connor, I need to give you a moment to rejoice. It came out yesterday that the NCAA tournament officially will not expand past 68 teams for this upcoming year. So congratulations, Connor Newt, our resident college basketball aficionado. No expansion of the college basketball tournament.
Thank you. It's not just my victory, it's yours as well.
So. It's everybody's victory. It is a victory for America that the college basketball, that March Madness is staying at 68 teams. They said that they will continue to look into it for 2027, but at least for this year, we are staying at 68 where everybody wants it for March Madness. TD, also, before we get into some of the other stuff, do want to mention the Titans did just make a move. It seems like it's a depth move, signing former Patriots Steelers safety Joshua Bledsoe, adding to the secondary. I don't really know if there's too much to draw from this, TD. Is this more of a camp body, or is this maybe a guy who can actually find himself on the 53 once we get down to cutdowns?
No, I think it's more of a numbers situation. That's more or less what you see with these types of transactions where they're just kind of churning through the roster and making some different moves. Now, as we get closer to, you know, when everything transpires after all the cuts and those signings, those like Daryl Baker was last year, those are the signings that I think will be more with roster implications.
Right. I think at safety, it kind of feels like the Titans are pretty set with what they have, especially with, you know, Kevin Winston seems to be having a pretty good start to his camp. And you've already got Woods and you've got Hooker up front. You've got some other depth options.
Mike Brown.
So we'll see. But Bledsoe is signed with the Titans, according to Jordan Schultz. And we'll see if he ends up making any plays throughout training camp. TD, the unofficial depth chart came out yesterday, and we got to see the first look at what this Titans roster might look like. There weren't a ton of surprises. One of them that I did want to get to is the offensive line, and maybe this is kind of, you know, Vrabel used to do this where he would maybe put the rookies a little bit lower than they actually end up being during the season. But Jackson Slater is a guy that I think a lot of people were excited about and thought maybe he's your next guy in that guard center triangle of if somebody goes down, Slater steps in, but he was listed on the third string. Is there anything really to that, or is that maybe just, you know, you got to keep the rookies in their place as they get into their first preseason?
Well, one thing I do want to say is this is unofficial, and it's according to, you know, this is built by the PR group. But it's relatively accurate. I think, you know, the thing you also have to consider, right, Sam Mustafa has had a pretty good camp. Now, Slater has gotten a lot of work at guard. Blake Hance hasn't even been on the field. So there's different things you got to consider. And, you know, again, he is a rookie, so he has to work his way up the depth chart. But I will say this. He had a couple plays last week. Let's see, what's today? Last week he had a couple plays, and – he was making blocks to spring these runners for a big run. Like he had a nice block to allow Tajay to get out and get open. Or no, it was Mims. Mims had a long run. And then he also on the screen, he came out and he kicked out one of the linebackers and Julius Chestnut cut right off him and took off. So Slater is making his mark. He's doing well in one-on-ones as well. So, I mean, I know he's listed as third team, so to speak, but he's getting some good, significant reps.
Yeah, I think we've been told this before, that like the head coach really has nothing to do with these unofficial depth charts.
Right.
Of the, yeah, maybe they will tell you something very vague about like, all right, these are kind of the six wide receivers we're looking at. These are this is who we want to start at quarterback. But you're right, that like it's an unofficial depth chart. It doesn't have anything to do with who's actually going to play on Sundays when we get into the regular season. But I thought that was interesting. Jackson Slater, a guy that when the Titans picked him in the fifth round, I think everybody was pretty excited about, a guy who can be the successor to maybe it's Kevin Zeitler after his one-year deal. Maybe it's Lloyd Cushenberry if he doesn't come back from his Achilles the way that they're hoping he does. So that is interesting. The other one that I was a little bit surprised by was seeing Josh Wiley on the third string. And I mentioned it with PK yesterday, actually, that it felt like Wiley was a lot closer to David Martin Robinson than he was Gunnar Helm and Chigakonkwo.
Yes.
But it was interesting to see that kind of confirmed, again, on the unofficial depth chart, but to see Josh Wiley has dipped down to that third string behind Helm and DMR.
Yeah, this is something we had a 32 for 32 entry that we had to do, and it was about a position battle that's kind of surprising. And this was the one that I picked, the tight end, and I said that Gunnar Helm appears to be ahead of Josh Wiley on the depth chart, and he'll be in the mix a lot of 12 personnel and those things like that with Chigakonkwo. And remember, they like to move Chig around. I'm not saying they're doing it now, but, I mean, in the past, they've had him line up as fullback. They'll motion him. They'll – and have him go to the gap and blow it out, you know, lead block. Then they'll motion him and have him go to a route. These are things that Chig has done before. So if Gunnar Helm could cement himself as an inline guy and also someone that could move, that's going to open up more opportunities for him. And I'll say this, Jake, Gunnar has done a solid job blocking too. Like, he's held his own in a 9-on-7 period where, you know, it's run only, and he's done a good job there. Wiley, he started off slowly. Obviously, you know, last year he had the injury situation, but he started off slowly, and then he did make a couple plays more recently. You know, they like to hit him on those seam routes. He's a big body, you know, so that's something. He was actually on the receiving end, what would have been the receiving end of one of Cam Ward's interceptions that he threw. He ran a corner route, and Ward had thrown it a little bit late. It was the day he had three interceptions on one day, and he had thrown it late, so it was – clearly a bad pass on Ward's part, but sometimes you got to make your quarterback right. And Wiley at 6'7 should have been able to come down with the ball as opposed to Daryl Baker, who was 6 feet and went up and attacked the ball and grabbed it. So, you know, there's give and take there. You definitely want somebody that's going to help your quarterback, and at 6'7", you got to be able to do that.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday. I believe we had a texter ask Paul whether it's more important for Cam Ward what we see from the wide receiver 4 and 5, whether that's Alec Iaman or Chim Dike, Bryce Oliver, or what you get from Gunnar Helm at tight end 2. And I think it's Gunnar Helm. I think Gunnar Helm is going to be just as important as anybody on this offense for Cam Ward in his first year. And I think I'm pretty happy to see, again, unofficial depth chart, but I'm happy to see that Gunnar Helm has cemented himself as, at the very least, the guy behind Chigakonkwo. And I think there's a pretty good chance by the end of the season at the latest that we see Gunnar Helm take a decent amount of those targets we see at the tight end position.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And here's the thing, right? And I talked to him about it. He does a very good job of finding ways to settle in the windows, right? And even when there's not necessarily a wide open window, like horizontally, if there's one vertically, like he did a good job a couple times where like he had a seam route and he throttled it down a little bit and Ward hit him right before the safety, you know what I mean? He just went up and got it, and boom. And there were other times where, you know, Ward dropped it right over the shoulder to him on the seam route. So I say all that to say he's QB-friendly, right? Quarterbacks, they always love those high-percentage throws. Obviously, they want to take shots, and we know Ward wants to do that. But the high-percentage throws, middle of the field, guy that could square up, find a window, and make himself a big target, those are always going to be favorites for the quarterback. And there's no wonder Helm was able to do what he did at Texas, and he's already transferring that here.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can text or call. Plenty to come on the show. Again, it is TD Tuesday here on Next Man Up. So, again, every Tuesday, we're going to have Teron Davenport on. We'll talk Titans throughout the entire season. So, very happy to have TD with us here on Next Man Up. Coming up later in the show, we're going to talk some college football. The initial coaches poll was released yesterday. Tennessee in there. Vandy received some votes. Again, we will also, talk with Middle Tennessee State quarterback Nick Vadiato as we are out here in Murfreesboro at Floyd Stadium for media days. Also, a conversation on Cam Ward as he prepares for his first joint practices coming up on Thursday in Tampa Bay. Going to be a fun show. We're going to keep talking about the depth chart on the other side here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport with you today. I am live out here at Floyd Stadium, Middle Tennessee State Media Days. They just wrapped up practice, and we are now thrilled to be joined by MTSU quarterback Nick Vadiato. Nick, thanks for taking some time. You look good out there today at practice.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
How's fall camp been going so far?
It's good.
Getting back out here with the team and getting ready for the season.
Yeah, it's been good. I think, second day in pads. Fifth practice overall, so it's been a lot of fun. I think we've improved each day and focused on some things that we want to get better at. And, I think big kind of thing Coach Mason's preaching right now is day by day. We're not trying to win week one or win week four right now. Like, we can't do that. We got to focus on the present, win each day, and then, you have some consistency and you stack days, and that's where you really see the growth.
I think the one big thing I noticed coming out here is right behind us, the Student-Athlete Performance Center.
Yeah.
How huge is that for you guys as players and the program as a whole? I know recruiting, it's got to be big. It looks unbelievable, state-of-the-art, and I'm sure that makes a big difference for you guys in your day-to-day preparation for these games.
No doubt. I mean, this facility is amazing. I know it's been years in the making. All the donors that made it possible, like, forever grateful to them. And then, like you said, our day-to-day, it makes everything a lot smoother. Our weight room's in there, meeting rooms are in there, locker rooms in there, our training rooms in there. Like, we don't have to leave that building. The only time we leave that building is to go out on this field right here. And, like you said, like, whether it's recruiting or, whatever you want to do with this building, you can. Like, you could have donors come sit in the building during games. Like, I know that's what the third level's for in the concrete club. And, obviously it's a big thing nowadays with recruits, and I think that can really help. But, it's just, I'm grateful I get to experience for a year. Guys who come after me will get to experience it. So I think it's awesome, and, it looks amazing. So that's really cool.
Nick, before I ask you about anything on the field, I want to touch on the Warfel Trophy. And you're on that watch list. Danny Warfel, man, that's a name to be associated with. How excited are you and proud to be named on that list?
Yeah, I think it's something that, obviously I'm very grateful for. I think any time that you're recognized, it's something that you should be proud about. But it's also, I think it's just a reflection of, like, we have a good program here at MT, and, we have a good leader in Coach Mason. And I think all his values that he instills into his players is something that we just try to, emulate day to day. And I think, at the end of the day, like, yeah, I was one who was kind of nominated for that award. But, like, that's just a reflection, I think, of the kind of atmosphere and the environment and the culture that we want to build here at MT. And, it's just not me doing good things out in the community or on the field. Like, we have a locker room full of guys that are doing great things and helping out. And it is really cool, though, and it's obviously – I'm very grateful for it.
Spoken like a true team player. I love that, Nick. I want to ask you about just who are some of the guys besides yourself that we need to look out for offensively at MTSU this year?
I think guys who've been here, I think Ja'Kael Middlebrook's going to have a huge year. Ja'Kael is one of one, in my opinion, and there's no one I'd rather, like, stand next to in the backfield. I think he's an absolute baller. I think Miles Butler is a tremendous leader. He had some role last year. I think his role is going to be even bigger this year. I think Cam Lacy is one of the most talented wide receivers I've been around, and he's been here for three or four years now. And I'm really excited because, he hasn't gotten a ton of game time, but I'm really excited to watch Cam, like, kind of the way his role in this offense has kind of come to life. I'm really excited to watch that. And then I think, we have a ton of transfer wide receivers. We got A.J. Jones. We got Amarion Walker. We got guys like Kaysen Stokes, and then guys like Gamarion Carter, who was here last year. So I'm really I'm really excited. Just like there's a lot of depth in that room. There's a lot of options that, you know, where that ball can go. Like every guy has their own thing that they're talented at, and you know, they're competing each day and they're making each other better. So I'm just really excited to watch all those guys ball.
I'm sure you get this question a lot. Redshirt senior,
yeah.
It's your fifth year here.
Fifth year.
With the landscape of college football, that's very rare these days, is to see somebody stay 5 years at one place. What makes Murfreesboro, Middle Tennessee State, and this program so special that made you want to stick around and really cement your legacy on this program?
Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, like, Middle Tennessee has given me a ton of opportunities. You know, when I came here as a true freshman with Coach Stock, I mean, he gave me an opportunity coming into college to be a quarterback at the collegiate level, and I'm forever grateful to him for that. You know, obviously, things changed after 2023. Coach Mason and I had a lot of good conversations, and I think at the end of the day, I was confident in where he was going to take this program and where I thought we can be. And, you know, MT's given me everything, a lot of opportunities, and there's nothing better and there's nothing more that I want to do than win here. And I think that at the end of the day, like, I'm not really chasing money or anything like that. Like, if I could win here with my guys, like, then that's the only thing that matters to me right now, and I think that we're in a good position to do that.
I know you said you're focused on today, the right now, not looking ahead, but do you guys have any team goals? Do you have personal goals for this season that you really want to accomplish before you leave campus?
I mean, I know it sounds probably cliche and a boring answer, but all I want to do is win. You know, like, freshman year, we went to a bowl game, we won that. My sophomore year, we went to a bowl game, we won that. And then the 2 years following, we went 4-8 and then 3-9. So, like, at the end of the day, I could care less about, like, personal stats and how I'm doing on the field. You know, obviously, I want to play well. I want to put my best foot forward, and I have full confidence I can do that. And the guys around me are super talented and allow me to just be me, and I can be, like, a point guard, right? Like, I could spit the ball out here, spit the ball out there. O-line's done a hell of a job, and they're phenomenal at what they do. But I think at the end of the day, everyone in that locker room just wants to win, and you can't ask for much more than that. There's no personal agendas or egos. I think everyone wants to win, and that's the goal, and, you know, you got to take it day by day.
Right.
I like that. And looking at your schedule, obviously each week is an important game, but, you know, you get the opportunity to level up against Wisconsin. Tell me, that mindset, right, being MTSU, going up against a school like Wisconsin, what's your approach there? How do you go about just – attacking, but not like doing so with like, oh, I got such a chip on my shoulder. I got to do this. I got to do that.
Yeah, I think it's important. Like, you go into it like any other game week, right?
There you
like,
go.
You prepare. You have your scouting report. You put your game plan in. You understand what their defensive scheme is. You have a few plays that you know can attack their weaknesses. And I mean, it's the same. It's like it doesn't change if you're playing Austin Peay, if you're playing Wisconsin, if it's any conference game. It doesn't change, right? You know, we played Alabama a few years ago, played Missouri a few years ago. We played Ole Miss and Duke and Memphis last year. Like, at the end of the day, none of those teams – like, you don't prepare for those teams any different than you would a conference opponent or you would an FCS opponent, because if you start changing the way you prepare, then you're going to get out of whack, and then that's when you really start to, like, kind of not be who you are. And if you're not who you are, then you're not at all going to give yourself a chance to win. So I think that you just approach like any other – you go through your week, your Tuesday practice is your Tuesday practice, your Wednesday practice is your Wednesday practice, your walkthrough is your walkthrough, then you get on that bus, you get on that plane, you fly over and you play them. And at the end of the day, it's just a football game, and you didn't treat it like any other football game.
A couple more for you here, Nick. The new turf on the field. I know that's a big thing around all of football right now, is trying to find the playing surface that is the best for players, and you know, there's been so many conversations about injuries happening on grass versus turf. How's it been getting out there for the first couple of times and seeing this new advanced playing surface that they've been able to put in here at Floyd Stadium?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, obviously, the design looks beautiful. You know, I know that they said that it's not like the traditional black rubber pellets that you see a lot of with turf. It's like almond or some type of nutshell, I think, or coconut.
I think that's right.
Coconut. That's what they use. Coconut.
Is that what Nissan uses now, too?
It is. Right. And that still allows it to have that bounce. And, Nick, I'm sure you'll appreciate it, because those black pellets, they attract that sun and that heat. And, it's crazy out there.
It used to get hot. You know, now we've been blessed a little bit with the overcast the last few days. And the sun hasn't been out. The temp's been a little cooler. But, no, but the turf is great. I know some guys kind of adjust your footing a little bit. I know a lot of the receivers the first few days, a little bit of slip, but they've been doing a really good job of, you know, just getting in and out of their breaks. I know they like it a lot more than the turf we used to have. It's way better on their knees, which is always good. And so it's really nice. And, I mean, it looks beautiful. And I'm really excited that we get some new turf to play on.
Nick, last one for you. You're about 3.5 weeks away from Austin Peay playing you right here. What's your message to fans out there to come out and support this team here at Floyd Stadium?
Yeah, I think, you know, we appreciate the community that we're in. I think Murfreesboro is a phenomenal town, and it's growing. There's a ton of people, and I think that the more people we can get to our games, that, you know, that we feed off of that energy. The more people that are in these stands, the harder we play, the more fun everyone has, and I think it'll be a great atmosphere. You know, they could come, they see the new facility, they could come into the stadium, they could have a good time with their family. You know, they're able to see us. Hopefully we get a win, and then at the end of the day, everyone gets to go home, have a good night, everyone's happy. And I think, like I said, Murfreesboro is a great town. You know, we do our best to get out in the community and do different things, whether it's the farmers market or just going to, like, elementary schools and stuff like that. And, you know, there's no better feeling than your community supporting you. And I think that's the most important thing. So I would love to see, like, all these stands packed out come August 30th.
Nick, thanks so much for your time. Wish you the best of luck this season.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
MTSU quarterback Nick Vadiato joining us here on Next Man Up. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. You're on 102.5 The Game.
What have you seen from him? Has that been a pleasant surprise in your mind?
I'm familiar with Prochet with his previous years. He's been on rosters and contributed to teams over his career so far. He's really had a nice camp. He's shown up. He's made plays. He's consistently made plays, which I think is the more important part. And he's making a case for himself. And he's got some special teams ability, but he's really shown up offensively. I mean, he's made catches every day. He's gotten himself open. The ball's found him, and it's been really good to see.
That was head coach Brian Callahan earlier this week talking about James Prochet, what he has added on the offensive side of the ball, also as a returner, as he is listed as the starting punt returner in the Titans' first unofficial depth chart, maybe a path for him to make the 53-man roster. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport with you here on Next Man Up. TD, great talking to Nick Vadiato there. That is a very put-together young man as he enters his fifth season with MTSU. Excited to see what the Blue Raiders do this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Definitely excited. I might have to make it up there to a game or two for sure, man. I need to do that.
I got to say, the new facility, I am telling the truth when I say it is state-of-the-art. It's right behind us here, and walking past it in from the parking lot, they put a lot of investment into that, and it's really cool to see outside Floyd Stadium here. I do want to get back to the depth chart quickly. Just on the return game, TD, that's something that has kind of been behind the curtain so far in training camp. Yeah, you guys have talked about how you've seen, you know, Prochet's been back there, DK's been back there, Jaquan Jackson's been back there, but to see James Prochet listed as the starting punt returner is interesting, because you would think the top six wide receivers are pretty much locked in. I can't see a real path for a guy like Bryce Oliver to miss the roster at this point. So does that mean that the Titans are likely going to keep seven, or, you know, is there a path for Chim Dike to maybe take over that spot, as he's listed as the backup, not only at punt returner, but kick returner too?
Yeah, I think there's a path where Chimere Dike could take that over. But, I mean, look, they may keep seven receivers, because we know that punt return aspect is definitely really, really important. And, I mean, you touched on it yesterday. Like, this two returns since 2012.
It's really
bad. It's crazy. And it's funny. So, at the owners' meetings, I got to talk to Mike Borgonzi. And we were talking about the return game. And I was like, you know, it's been since 2012 when somebody returned a punt for a touchdown. You know that, right? And he couldn't believe it. You know what I mean? And it's crazy. So they need to get some production there. Prochet is not exactly a guy that, you know, he's no Devin Hester. I mean, but he still is somebody that gives you a threat back there.
Yeah, it is just insane to think that Darius Reynaud is the last guy to return a punt for a touchdown.
You know what I'm saying?
In a Titans uniform. It is unbelievable. But, I mean, you really can't think of a ton of explosive guys who have taking those reins over the last couple of years. Everyone thought Kyle Phillips was going to be that guy, and he couldn't catch the ball was the first main issue, but he never really turned into that guy. We saw, TD, I don't know if you were listening, the day that D-Mace and I did Titans hot takes for the season, and somebody texted in and said the Titans are going to have 2 return touchdowns within the first 3 weeks of the year. And I was like, that might be the hottest take that we've gotten all day long, because the Titans just cannot figure out the return position. Maybe Prochet, maybe DK can be that guy. As you brought in guys with speed, they can be explosive. But it would be nice for the Titans to get that monkey off their back early in the season and finally bust one loose in the return game.
Yeah, it would be really nice for them to do that. And I know they're thirsting to do it. I say this, though. Prochet, he's not only making a mark for himself as a possible returner. Like, this guy's a legit route runner. And, I mean, I was really surprised seeing him last week. And it's funny because I thought that he was going to get a ball thrown at me. I'm standing on the sideline, right? And he had a 9. Well, he ended up running a comeback route. But he sold the 9 so well. And I saw Tim Boyle looking in my direction. You know, and I'm like, oh, he about to fade this thing up. It's coming over here. So I took a step back. And he threw the ball. And I'm like, wait, the trajectory is different. And all of a sudden you saw him and then snap back to the quarterback, you know, on a comeback route and catch the ball. I mean, I've been very impressed with him.
Yeah, I really hope that one of these guys can end up being an explosive returner. It's just like at this point, it's always going to be you got to show me first based on what we've seen for the last decade plus. I just looked through because you mentioned you told Borgonzi that the Titans haven't had a punt return touchdown since 2012. Guess how many the Chiefs have had in that time span?
I will say 4.
8.
Wow.
The Chiefs have had 8 punt return touchdowns since 2012. That was the last time the Titans had one. Dexter McCluster had 2 in 2013 before he came and played for the Titans. So it's been a long time. It looks like Prochet going to be the punt returner, but DK listed as backup. TD, do you take anything from Jaquan Jackson being listed as the starting kick returner? Is that just kind of preliminary? Because I don't really see a path for him to make the roster.
Yeah, I think it's preliminary, and it's unfortunate because he hasn't really done much to help himself in the receiving side of things either. And we know that there were issues with him, you know, putting the ball on the ground on the punt return. So, you know, I think Tajay Spears has an opportunity to get in there. DK, of course. And then, you know, Bryce Oliver has been back there. So there's other guys. I wouldn't necessarily consider him cemented in there. And it's unfortunate because, you know, Jaquan at one point, like at this time last year, Jaquan Jackson was, you know, Derek Mason was raving about him, saying, hey, this guy reminds me of me. You know what I mean? And now, look, he's probably outside looking in.
It is funny how Titans fans, you get excited about these late round wide receivers. Colton Dowell was getting some hype his rookie season, and then Jaquan Jackson last year. The good news is the guys the Titans drafted this year were actually in a round where you can start to get a little bit excited with Iamanor and DK. At least they were fourth round picks instead of sixth or seventh round picks. Last thing on the depth chart here, TD, I know you are big on James Williams. We've had the James Williams conversation a lot over the last year or so.
You see my interview with him?
I did not.
Oh, yeah.
I need to go watch
I'll
that.
I'll have to shoot it to you, man.
Okay, maybe I'll watch that during the break. James Williams listed as the starting inside linebacker, which, based on what we've heard from practice, not really a shock. Based on your reports, TD, and everybody else out there, he's been lining up with the ones pretty much every single day. Cedric Gray listed as the 2, and was it Otis Reese was also on the second string?
Yeah, Otis Reese.
I have
was
it
in
up
there.
Here.
They're all rotating.
Yes, and then the third string has guys like David Benda and Anthony Orgie and that group. So Otis Reese, Cedric Gray listed as the second stringers. Does it feel like James Williams' job to lose next to Cody Barton?
It does feel like his job to lose. And he's been pretty much always next to Barton. But you know, as you guys touched on and as you know, Denard Wilson said the other day, okay, but what about when Barton's not on the field? How can Williams and Gray work together? We saw them do that a couple times last year. One of them resulted in a long run by Jonathan Taylor. But another one, you know, they came in and they got Anthony Richardson behind the line of scrimmage too. So it's going to be about seeing how that works. I like the competition, honestly, and you got like a different type of player. You know what I mean? Like, you got James Williams, who's just like see ball, get ball, very aggressive downhill thumper. Then you got Cedric Gray, who comes across as a very knowledgeable natural at the position. He's actually the only of those four to have not played safety. So he's a little more natural at the position. He had a couple plays where he came up and he filled against the run during our team period last week. And then you look at Otis Reese, the fourth, and I tell you, man, you talk about somebody that's all over the field. That's what he brings. So it's going to be fun watching those guys. I think Vandy's own, you know, Anthony Orji
right.
is someone to look at. And David Bender, you know, those guys, they'll be getting reps in a time like now, right, where you're getting the pads on and you're able to thump and hit on Thursday. And then in the game, I think guys like that could really elevate themselves.
Yeah, the inside linebacker group, me and Paul had the conversation yesterday about how there's a lack of competition across this roster. I think that's the one position where we felt like there was going to be competition, and it's not a bad thing if James Williams is kind of running away with it, but they do have some intriguing depth there. Nobody who is established, and I've been thinking about this, TD, that they wouldn't have traded away Kenneth Murray for They wouldn't have traded away Kenneth Murray for almost nothing if they didn't feel good about some of these young guys.
Yeah, they definitely wouldn't have done that. And I think, you know, that was a matter of basically Kenneth Murray Jr. exchanged for Cody Barton. And Cody Barton, lo and behold, a former safety.
You know,
so they want to really make sure the coverage aspect is there. I know Murray, he got blamed on a couple touchdowns that weren't really his fault. But, I mean, I just think that Barton is a little more natural in coverage. And James Williams is taking a step there as well. To me, Otis Reese is the best out of all of those guys in coverage. But, you know, he's going to be in the rotation.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you have thoughts on the Titans, questions for TD, let us know. Again, 615-737-1025. 1025 The Game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser, Souls for the 615, to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. Help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615 is sponsored by Macero and 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality. When we come back, we're going to get away from the Titans for a second. I have a thought on one of the other teams in the division and some of the dysfunction going on up in Indianapolis. We'll do that next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Connor Newt, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on Jacksonville at First Horizon Park with first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Just went through the Titans' first unofficial depth chart. Not a whole lot of surprises there. But the depth chart that grabbed headlines yesterday, TD, was the Indianapolis Colts, where Shane Steichen has listed Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson as his starting quarterback. I mean, TD, we've talked about the Anthony Richardson experience before, and I'm not always a huge believer in that teams can ruin a quarterback. I mean, sometimes it's just you got it or you don't. This is a situation where the Colts ruined Anthony Richardson by throwing him out there way too fast. They got him hurt, and now you're in a situation where it's like, do you give up on him and go with Daniel Jones, or do you run him back out there when he probably isn't the best chance for you to win games this year?
Yeah, and I think, you know, not only did they rush him out there, but they used him incorrectly. I mean, you have him running QB power. Like, they used him like old Cam Newton.
Right.
Or like the way the Bills used Josh Allen when he first came in. And it just – you don't want to turn your quarterback into a crash test dummy. And it had bad results.
Yeah, it's been bad. And you see the flashes from Anthony Richardson. Everybody remembers the throw he had. I believe it was against the Bengals last year, early in the year, where it's just like he can just flick the wrist and throw it 75 yards in the air. And it looks easy to him. But – being a quarterback in the NFL isn't about arm strength. It's about consistency. And Anthony Richardson has been anything but consistent so far in his NFL career. it's tough to see the way that it looks like he's probably not going to be on the team next year. I just don't understand how you mismanage that situation so bad. Anthony Richardson, he was more like Trey Lance than any other quarterback prospect that's come out lately, of just like has only played 12 games since high school. Like, you take him knowing that he probably needs a year on the bench,
right,
and they still threw him out there. And like you said, just had him running into linebackers and taking hits. And it seems like this is the most easily preventable quarterback controversy that we've had. If he had just sat the bench in year one, who knows what Anthony Richardson ends up being?
Yeah, I think in his situation, and it's the opposite of the way I look at the Cameron Ward experience. And I think, you know, when you have a guy that has played 50-plus college games, you're like, yeah, get him out there and let him figure some things out on his own with the staff, et cetera, as well. But I think when you look at Anthony Richardson, it's so limited. And this is one of the things I love talking to Stephen Holder about, because he's very tuned in as far as Anthony Richardson is concerned. And a lot of it is ignorance, and it's not a matter, not ignorance like rude, but ignorance like really doesn't know, right? And you look at simple things, right? So Stephen has a story up now, you know, about changing the diet, right? And, I mean, you got to remember, this guy's he's 23 years old. You know what I mean? And I remember when I was in my early 20s, and a lot of people in their early 20s, you think you could just eat anything, right? So what he did was cut out the candy. You know, and these are things that, like, when your body is injured and is trying to heal, your diet as well as your sleep is very important. And so if you are not eating correctly, your body's not going to heal correctly. It's not going to be as strong and productive as someone who is. So I think that's a good thing. But then even just stuff with just being a quarterback, like knowing things that you need to do, right? Just something simple like, hey, look, man, call a timeout instead of tapping yourself out when you're tired. You know what I mean? And for God's sake, don't tell them. Yeah, you love honesty, but for God's sake, don't tell them that you did that because you were tired. You know what I mean? You have to have certain things that you know to do and know not to do. And I think that's something that he's still learning. Again, the man is only 23 years old.
Right. I mean, he went into the league young and inexperienced, and the Colts mismanaged him. Bama Brad on our YouTube chat says, are you sure they ruined him? They didn't do him any favors for sure, but we can't be sure he's going to pan out regardless. He hardly played college football.
Well,
of
that's
course.
The whole point, Bama Brad. The whole point is, being as though he's barely played college football, he's not someone I would run out there right away.
Right.
I mean, like, that's, yeah, they ruined him for the time being because they mishandled the situation.
Yeah, and I know people are going to make the comparisons. It's like, oh, you guys are saying they should have sat Anthony Richardson. They should sit Cam Ward. They're completely different prospects.
Yeah.
And like Cam Ward, at this point, I don't think he has proven that he's ready. I think he's got a lot of time to do so, and I believe that he will be ready to start week one. But it's very different for Cam Ward, who started, what, like 30-something games of college football, 35
yeah.
to 40. And Anthony Richardson, who played one season, and everybody, when they talked about Anthony Richardson, said he was raw. It's like, this is a guy who is an elite athlete but hasn't figured out how to be a quarterback yet. And the best way to figure that out is to sit. And you had options as the Colts to sit behind. Like, was it Gardner Minshew?
Gardner Minshew.
Right. Like, yeah. Gardner Minshew's a veteran. He's played a lot of football. Let him play and let Anthony Richardson sit for year one. And they made the wrong decision there. For the Titans, it's like Cam Ward, I don't know if sitting behind Brandon Allen is really going to add all that much to his ability. For a guy who's played that much football, the
right.
best thing for him is probably to keep playing.
Yeah.
But I think it is, for Titans fans, it has to be at least a sigh of relief that even with – yeah, Cam played over 50 games.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned that's what I said earlier. Like, he played over 50 games. This is a totally different situation. That's exactly
right.
what I said. Now, as far as this, you know, with Anthony Richardson, look, no one's saying that he would have for sure been a Pro Bowl top-tier quarterback. All I'm saying is he wasn't put in the best situation.
Right.
So, for now, they've ruined him. For now, right? And you look at someone as experienced as a passer like Lamar Jackson. Lamar, he threw for 9K
yeah.
in college. But what did Baltimore do? And I know they had Flacco, and he was already established, you know, their Super Bowl winner, but they still sprinkled in some plays. You remember when the Ravens came here, that 17-0 game. You know, late in that game, Lamar came in, and they booted him, and he ran and got a first down, and that's the way they gradually brought him along. Another good example is Colin Kaepernick, right? When he came out of Nevada, I mean, this guy was doing really well, putting up all kinds of numbers, but you had Alex Smith, but they brought him in. And I remember Green Bay, they did a quarterback sneak. It was like 3rd and 15. This guy ripped off like 17 yards, and it set up David Akers for what was then the record-setting field goal length. Yep. It was like 62 or something like that. So there's different ways you bring along different quarterbacks, and we have a guy like Anthony Richardson. The best way to do it is to sprinkle him in there, allow him to get his palate wet, and then work into becoming the permanent guy. But that shouldn't have happened as a rookie.
Chip from Mount Juliet on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, I think says it perfectly. Potential doesn't equal wins. Ward has proven himself in college. Richardson, all potential. Ward, they're completely different prospects, so I don't think there's really any parallels to be made. Right. But it's just it is crazy to see year three. Like, Anthony Richardson was drafted 4th overall less than 3 years ago, and now he is listed as an or on the depth chart with Daniel Jones. I don't think that's even close to how Colts fans hope that would have panned out. So even as Titans fans, you know, you're coming off a 3-14 season. There's not a lot of hope for this year. You can at least be happy that you are not in the quarterback situation that the Indianapolis Colts are. Yeah. And I wrote this on the grid. I was like, if Indy Ben is listening, I know we're going to get some sort of text about how great Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones is going to be to make the Colts a playoff team this year. Not sure I believe that, but anyway. Yes, the Titans depth chart came out. Not a lot of surprises there. The Colts listing both their quarterbacks as an or for QB1. Plenty more coming on the show here from Middle Tennessee State. We are out here at Blue Raider Media Days as they wrapped up practice earlier. We talked with quarterback Nick Vadiato earlier. I believe we're going to chat with head coach Derek Mason coming up in just a bit. We'll talk some college football later in the show and get back to the Titans and the concerns with Cam Ward as he heads into his first game week. Preseason game, but a game week nonetheless for the Titans and Cam Ward. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport with you here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game.